podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's always the right time to dress to impress. This season, step out in style with Indochino. They make high-quality, custom-fitted suits, shirts, and casual wear, all at a surprisingly affordable price. Each Indochino piece is made to your unique measurements and specifications. Suits start from just $4.29. Dress to impress this season with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $3.99 or more by using promo code IMPRESS at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com, promo code IMPRESS.
Welcome to the Blue Room Weekly. And, I don't know where we're going to quite go with this. We've just had a chat, me and Peter McFarlane earlier. Hopefully to ease your minds and ease your thoughts going to Goodison Park tonight, what is probably the biggest game at Goodison Park for many, many years. We'll discuss that in a second, I think. Pete, first of all, no holds barred this. I think we were just explaining before we came on. Obviously, you've got a dog. I've got three dogs sitting downstairs. And normally, like, to try and keep what we do on the Blue Room professional, I try and go find a quiet place or make sure the dogs are out the house and all that. But I was sort of thinking, we want this to be quite feral tonight at Goodison, don't we? And whatever happens beforehand. So I've left my windows open. The dogs are no doubt going to bark everywhere. We've got a couple of cats as well up here. They'll probably start meowing. And there'll no doubt be something going on outside. Someone's got the mowing the garden and all that stuff. So I actually don't mind that. But how are you feeling initially? I mean, and I've put this out on our Twitter, if anyone wants to give us their thoughts and opinions and stuff like that. We haven't had too many because everybody's probably that nervous. How are you feeling straight away? And I know both of us, well, we got up probably a similar time, like 5-6 o'clock this morning, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been my routine all week, to be honest with you, Dave. I haven't slept a wink since Sunday. I'm feeling, you know, when you talk about butterflies in your stomach, I feel like I've got a herd of elephants in mine, in my chest. It's, you know, it is such a nerve-wracking time to be an Evertonian. But having said that, I'm confident. I'm still confident that we can get over the line. I think the players have shown enough heart over the past couple of months. Probably something which I wasn't sure if these players were capable of it, but the last couple of months they've shown that they can fight when they need to, and certainly tonight, fight is what we have to do. I think it is the biggest game. As much as we'd want to be fighting for trophies and going for league titles, the reality is that this is the biggest game we've had at Goodison for a long, long time because of just how much it means to this football club to stay in the Premier League.
And it's really sad to feel that it's, you know, when you go back in seasons gone by and when we've actually looked half decent, stuff like that, which obviously sadly have been very rare, but if you were given the scenario that Everton would be having one of the most important games in decades. Well, a lot of people have their own opinion on that, but it certainly feels that way to me. You'd actually think that, or hope, obviously, that it was for something decent, that it was to get a Champions League position if it was in, and you know, a cup final or something like that, that was saying that this is so important for Everton. But the fact that we're sitting here talking about a game that effectively, you know, I hate to say it, but on Monday, we could be getting that. We could be talking on this once again about Everton being in the Championship. That's the magnitude of what goes on at Goodison tonight. And the thing that worries me more than anything, and I'll get to some people's comments in a second, but if you think to that Brentford game the other day, the way in which it materialised, the way in which, you know, we go 1-0 up and then we went 2-1 up, barring the refereeing decisions, because I know that's all that a lot of us have spoken about at length, given how appalling some of the things we've seen at Goodison, not only in that game, but throughout the season, haven't helped our cause whatsoever, haven't been fair. And that's why Everton is still in this position. To many people, that'll be why we're in this position. It was hard to be one of those games, I think, Pete, where you look at it and think that Lampard and the players didn't do themselves justice, because the sad thing about this was they didn't get the chance to do themselves justice and still very nearly got the results that they probably deserve. We had, you know, Branthwaite didn't go off the pitch and we were given a stonewall penalty and stuff like that. Look, I've thrown myself into the ground talking about this now when I said I wouldn't. But that game itself, it makes me really scared of tonight, and it makes me really scared of what happens in the next few days and where we're going to be. Because I don't know about you, generally in life, I always sense things that are meant to be and aren't meant to be, and you know, inevitabilities and stuff like that. And the way in which that game came to pass, losing that match against Brentford, I mean, given the magnitude of tonight, thinking of that game, can you imagine how on the floor all of the players, the squad, the staff were, and obviously us as fans when we finished. Now, obviously, we've all got to get back up for this, and the players certainly have to as well, more importantly. For that to happen the way it did, it couldn't have been worse, the way in which Everton were beaten in that manner, could it?
I think one thing in terms, you know, psychologically for the players, is the fact that we went down to 10 men.
Yeah.
We can use that as a springboard to sort of to deflect away from the actual result itself in terms of psychologically for the players, because I genuinely do believe, I think we were, you know, at the time when the sending off happened, we were flying. I felt like we were all over Brentford, and we were obviously a goal up. The crowd were absolutely bouncing. I think without that sending off, we win that game easily. And I think that's the mentality the players have got to have. They've got to cling on to the fact that without that sending off, which, by the way, should never have happened in a million years, because there was a clear pull on Richarlison in the build-up to it. You know, without that happening, the players have got to believe that they would have gone on to win. And certainly they're going to be scared. I mean, I'm terrified, but sometimes, you know, it's how you deal with fear. At the end of the day, fear can be a great motivator. Fear can be you've got to be realistic. You've got to take into account what could happen. And you've got to accept the fact that something, you know, terrible could happen. And then you've got to do everything in your power to stop it from happening. So I think the players have got to be realistic about it. They've got to understand what this means for this football club, what this means for this fan base, what this means for the community, what this means for, you know, on a human level, for people's jobs. The players have to take that responsibility and take it on the shoulders, and they need to step up tonight. And I certainly think over the past couple of months, we've seen a number of players who really have stepped up and taken on that responsibility. And some of the players are players I probably wouldn't have thought were capable of it. You know, I think I've been quite critical of, for example, Alex Iwobi in the past. Mm-hmm. That lad, for the last 2 months in an Everton shirt, has given absolutely everything that he's had. And I think he's almost, you know, there's a point where the penny dropped with Alex Iwobi. And I saw him give an interview where he said he mislaid a pass against Newcastle. And the fans didn't get on his back. He said they applauded the pass that I was trying to make. And he said, and that spurred him on. And then he said, and then he realised that the more he ran, the more the fans got behind him. And it was like, as I say, it was a penny, the penny dropped for him. He suddenly realised that these are, you know, us Evertonians, if we see you giving everything you've got, we'll back you. We'll back you from the first minute till the last. And those players all need to understand that. And us Evertonians need to show that support tonight. We need to get behind them from the first minute till the last, in the warm-up even. We need to get behind them. We need to drag them over the line. We need to get on the backs of the Crystal Palace players. We need to make it horrible for them. Horrible. I want it to be the most horrible atmosphere in Goodison for that away team tonight. And we, as I say, realistically, we've got to keep that fear of what could happen in the back of our minds. We've got to remember what this is about, and we've got to keep fighting.
It's interesting you say that, and I completely agree with that point, because I've made the mistake myself, even this morning, when I went on Twitter last night and saw the notes from the programme that they put out on the club Twitter, and I started getting really, really angry about some of the things that were on there, and the fact that Van der Meijden was one of the guest things that they put on there. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. They've made me laugh in recent years when they've done these big interviews with former players, but they haven't done it with the best of the former players, if you get what I mean. So like,
yeah,
Nicholas Alexanderson and I don't know who else, others on the list as well. And you're like, why do you think any fans would care about that? And the thing, excuse me, the thing that I'm getting at with that is, I think there's been a lot of tone deafness at that side of things with the club this year. In fact, given from the Benitez start, of the season, all the way up to some of the things that we've seen them talk about. And look, I get how difficult that must be for the club's media. I work in the media. You know what it's all about and what you've done yourself as well. That, you know, if you work for somebody, you have to take their direction. Now, when I read that and it had CEO comments, and when I read that this morning, it really boiled my blood reading that, you know, we need to get back to the way we were ahead of Chelsea and ahead of Brentford, those games. We need to be like that. And I was like, I'm not sure we is the word from somebody from the board saying that there's a we between them and us, because for many fans, that's been a huge reason the way we've got so low these days. Now, when I look at that, I'm thinking, is that almost something that they've done on purpose to get everyone angry? You know, you mentioned it yourself. Fear can be a real motivator itself. That what I read, and I think many others agree, because given the reaction that I got to saying it, I like that. They're like, you know, this is very much the material that we need to, you know, take another step towards supporting and giving everything we absolutely need to tonight against Crystal Palace. I just thought it was really strange in a juxtaposition in the middle of everything that's going on. You've got Andy Phantom Maida telling them why he regrets what he did when he came to Everton. And I think since then, I remember he did his own YouTube, didn't he? He was like, someone said he become like the Dutch version of Peter Andre or something. And when he was with us, obviously it didn't go well at all, apart from the cross he put in for Dan Gosling to score against Liverpool. Other than that, it was an absolute mess, wasn't it, really, when he was here? For him to then go away and start joking about what Everton had and who Everton had, and then to use him on the programme of a game. I mean, I don't know about that, to be honest, mate. I'm going down a bit of a rabbit hole here, but if you think of how the club have thought about how do we say the right words to fans in a programme, sometimes I just look at it and think, you just don't need to say anything at all, really. I think that'd be best just to leave it to it, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, we had it after the Leicester game, didn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm by no means anyone who, you know, I don't like singling people out, but Phil Kenwright came out after the Leicester game and started talking about, you know, about the fans and how we'd all come together. And again, it was like this wee thing. And instantly I thought, what are you doing? Just stay quiet. The fans have got this.
Patronise, like, Pete, isn't it? Do you not feel patronised? I do.
But again, it's like this. It's the whole idea of almost like, how do I put it, of ownership of what the fans are doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a case of, right, yous have messed up by appointing Benitez at the start of this season. Let us sort it out now. Do you know what I mean? Like leave us to it. Leave us fans to it. We're gonna sort this. And it's great that the club have obviously, you know, worked with some of the fan groups to organise. We're speaking to Katie Carter.
Spot on. Katie's been absolutely fantastic.
Incredible.
Every single person. And it was great that they got to Goodison and got to meet Frank Lampard and all that sort of thing. Do you know?
Oh, yeah.
The irony of
that. Absolutely, they deserve it.
Yeah, but the irony to that is, it all feels, I hope this is not true, but it feels like, I really hope this isn't too little too late, the way in which the club have embraced people who've done all of that fantastic work, the likes of yourself have done, the likes of Katie Carter's done, everyone in the Hands Tour group have done. So many thousands of people have put everything they've got into trying to save this football club from relegation. You know, they're embracing and being embraced by the club itself feels like it's been far too long in coming.
Absolutely.
And I just hope it doesn't come round to pass that this has happened too late, because, you know, on one hand, yeah, we all speak vocally, Katie speaks vocally, and everybody associated with the group that got to go and have a little walk around the ground and meet Frank and all that sort of thing, they get that, and that's fantastic. But they have, and everyone has been banging the drum about the problems with the football club, then it's a mixed message to then let them inside to do that. Why not actually get the actual image and picture that we're all talking about here, about the football club and the problem there's been? Like you said about Bill Kenwright there, I'm no fan of Bill Kenwright whatsoever. Absolutely not. I think he's been an issue and a problem at the football club for a very long time. But I also think, again, in typical Everton fashion, the guy who come in and spent £500 million is actually one big part of the problem now as well. So, you know, there are so many different directions, and this is probably a bigger conversation for when the season finishes, which wherever it goes, about, you know, who you point the blame in, because I think there's so many different ways you can. And then you put that to one side for a second and then look at tonight. Now, obviously, the likes of Katie, everybody else that you mentioned is such a big part of what happens tonight and how we are able to all get together and try and push this team on. But I also feel as well that it's really, really sad that it's come to the point where the influence the fans have. Look, it's an age-old argument, isn't it, in football? Do the fans matter as much as people think? Do they matter at all? Why, you know, and the evidence is plainly there that, you know, most football clubs win more home games because they're at home and the fans are cheering them on. That's an old adage that's been that's happened with football ever since it started, isn't it? It's the away games that piss you off. It's the away games that's cost us a lot this season. That proves it. But I really hope that, I don't want to talk about too far into the future, that this is something that the club sees and recognises finally as something that should be dealt with hand in hand, rather than you're fighting so much of an obstacle to get in and do this at the club. And tonight, if Everton win tonight, if Everton stay up, I go as far as saying there's a huge, huge part of the reason why they have, because of the fans, because of the people we've just been talking about.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things you've got to, like, I always feel like Everton are quite reluctant to take criticism or to address it. I think they'd always, it always, this is just from the outside looking in. It does make a refreshing change that they have welcomed the likes of Katie and Hans Tors, who are just passionate Evertonians. And at the end of the day, not everyone's going to agree on the way that the direction.
We all argue what team you want out there. We all argue about who you want, what system you want Frank Lampard to play. That's just the way natural football fans are, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. And I just think it did make a refreshing change that the likes of Katie and Hans Tors and everyone else, and the fact even the fan, you know, some of the members of the fans forum as well. I think they've been great because I think certainly at certain points of the season, there were probably, you know, some questions over what the fans forum were there for and things. But again, they've stepped up. You know, the members of the fans forum have actually stepped up. I think it's Siobhan. I met her a couple of games ago. And again, she was as passionate an Evertonian as you're likely to meet. And I just think it's so imperative that whatever happens, we need to get the season over with. And whatever happens, we really need to take on board what these fans are saying. It's not just people, you know, shouting out in the street saying the world is, you know, the end is nigh. These are passionate Evertonians. Now, whether people on the board agree with them or not, let them have a voice. Let them say what they've got to say. And do you know what? I might hear something that I don't agree with from our fans, but they've got the right to say it. Do you know what I mean? If it's an opinion, as long as it's not, you know, insulting someone individually or saying anything too over the line, people have got a right to say how they want their football club to be run. And at the end of the day, it's our life. It's not a job. It's not something that we sort of choose to do. Yeah. Everton's our life. It's all I've been able to think about. You know, probably since January, I don't think I've slept properly. I don't think I've slept properly since January because I've just been worried sick. And hopefully, if things go right tonight, I could sleep well tonight. If they don't, I'll be awake till Monday.
Yeah, and that's for many people, given the task we'd have if we didn't stay up by, you know, if we're not in what is it about 9-10 hours time, and we're not sitting here talking about Everton still being in the Premier League next season, then. For a lot of fans, that's going to be it because we go away to Arsenal. We've still got an outside chance of getting in the Champions League. And, you know, traditionally, we've got an awful record there. So it literally is. You can't emphasise it more that it is all about tonight, this. And everyone needs to get behind it in the way that we've seen things happen. It's really interesting what you were speaking about there, Pete, with, you know, the way certain fans may think different things. You know, we know there's different podcasts out there than the Blue Room, and there's different fans with different opinions. Absolutely right. And the thing that I've always tried to keep with this, ever since I started this and made it, well, within our 10th year, going into our 11th year now, was it should be inclusive. It should always be people are completely entitled to have their opinion, up to the point, like you've just said quite rightly, that it's not something that you can't really say or that isn't as fair or as bad to say. Look, anybody can have their opinion on anything. I've always said that about anybody that comes on the Blue Room. And that to us as a fan base, I think there is, if there's ever going to be one positive to come from this, it is so many fans, so many groups, so many different people that haven't really either bothered with each other or ignored each other have actually come together for this. And what you're going to see tonight happen before the game kicks off around Goodison Park.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's not something that's been organised by the club. It's something that the fans... It's great to see Evertonians all singing from the same hymn sheet, literally, yeah, in the stands. You know, but when all of the fans have come together, and like you say, you know, I'm assuming I'm allowed to mention them on the Blue Room, but the lads from the Bullens View, yeah, they've been doing these Twitter live spaces, which I think, you know, has been a great thing for Evertonians. Very therapeutic, to be honest. I know that Benjamin Wyn Stanley, he's a passionate Evertonian. Again, you don't have to agree with everything he says, but obviously he bleeds blue. And I know that him and the other lads on there.
It's actually it's more entertaining. Somebody who works in the media, it's more entertaining if people disagree and have a decent debate. It's when it goes into the pale, when people start arguing and some of the things you see people throwing each other, that's what the issue is. You're absolutely right. And I applaud those lads for everything they've done, and in the events that they've had as well. I've been lucky enough to go along to one. Fantastic group of lads. We're all really, really nice. There's no, as far as I'm concerned, there's no us and them when it comes to, well, for the something that's so insignificant to life as a podcast. There is no us and them. They're always welcome. The door's always open for anyone who wants to come on this. Anytime I've had an argument with an Evertonian on Twitter, I've said, come on, if you want, mate, give me your phone number. I'll send you a link to a Zoom and we'll have a chat. That should be, in my opinion, how we should do things where we move forward as a fan base.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it's something, if anything, this season's given us, it's given us an opportunity for people to come together. You know, we're one of the only clubs who haven't had, you know, a moment of joy for the past, you know, 27 years. You know, we've gone that long without actually having a single moment where we can all come together as one and sort of celebrate. Unfortunately, this season, it's the opposite, where we've actually had to come together because of adversity. But at the same time,
it's ironic in many ways, isn't it, that it's taken
it
that.
It is, but again, it's the foundation now, isn't it? It's how you build on that now. And you know what you don't want to happen is if we can get through this season and stay in the Premier League, if we can carry that over into next season and all remain committed and together as a fan group, surely that will help to spur us on to bigger and better things than fighting it out towards the bottom of the league. Like you say, you can see the impact of the fans can have on these players. I think certainly, and that goes both ways. If there's negativity in the stands, that can translate to the players as well and have an effect on the players. But when Goodison is bouncing and all the fans come together, I mean, look at the scenes outside Goodison for the past few games, you know, welcoming the coach and everything. I was right in the middle of it. That's why my voice is a bit wrecked. It's still wrecked from breathing in blue smoke. I looked like a smurf by the time I went into the ground. But it was just incredible scenes, and it was people of all ages. It was just incredible to see. It was, and again, we're looking to have that same atmosphere tonight, and I'm sure thousands of Evertonians will be lining the streets. But I just hope that we can keep this together, as I say, going into next season, and use that positive energy to push them onto something greater.
I think that's spot on, mate. It's hard to even say anything different than what you just have there about the way in which the football club hopefully is going. We just need the lads in 11 shirts to be able to pull that off tonight. And then, you know, hopefully it's a lot more positive sort of thing we can start talking about in the summer and in the new season. But you're absolutely right. It's petrifying what's going on. Just before we finish, because we're going to run out of time in terms of the podcast that we've got going at the minute. But a couple of comments that we've had. Everyone needs to be calm. This is Snub Nose Uzi. On Twitter, he knows who he is anyway. Calm, we all need to be calm. It's not Crystal Palace that could beat Everton, it's Everton that could beat Everton. I think that's an excellent point.
Spot on.
The amount of times when, and again, going back to the fan base chat, which we've spoken of, well, pretty much 99% of this conversation. If we don't look down, we're going to win tonight. Then we've got Athers, who's a good lad. Plays football with us, or did do anyway. This game doesn't feel right. The Leicester and Watford games felt like being rescued from the waters of the sinking of the Titanic, only to be picked up by the Belgrano. It feels like we've had our chance. Desperately hope I'm wrong. Up those beautiful toffee bastards. What else have we had? That's about it. We haven't had too many people come in. Oh, also, yeah. Tom Osey FC has said he's shitting himself. Never been this nervous, but I reckon it's going to be a draw. We're going to have to rely on Villa beating. They're playing. Who are they playing tonight?
Playing Burnley, aren't they?
Burnley tonight, yeah. And Brentford on Sunday. They've got Leeds at home, haven't they? I know we're finishing now, mate, but I need to get. What do you think's going to happen? What do you think? What's your prediction of what happens? We won't go through the team because the team's all over the place with injuries and suspensions and all that, isn't it?
I mean, ideally, you'd want an early goal and a nice, easy 3-0 win, but it's Everton, and it just isn't going to happen, is it? But I think it's imperative that we keep our heads. We saw the impact that one rash challenge can do on Sunday, so we need to keep our heads, keep it tight. I'm confident we're going to win tonight, and I don't often say that. I'll be honest, I'm quite a pessimist when it comes to results. Same. I'm confident we're going to win tonight, and I think we're going to get over the line. But having said that, whatever happens tonight, if we do go a goal down, keep going, keep fighting, and that goes for everyone in the crowd. Don't let the atmosphere drop, because the first thing those Palace players will be getting told is get that crowd quiet. Don't let them keep fighting.
You know, I foolishly thought before that Brentford game that Brentford should be on the holidays by now, because they had a fantastic season to stay mid-table since they got promoted last year. I'm looking at Palace tonight in a similar way, I guess. They can't really qualify for anything. They're in mid-table. But regardless of how they feel, how they're approaching this, how Patrick Vieira's approaching this, I think we have to keep in all of our minds that you're going to see the best version of Crystal Palace possible. We have to beat them. Obviously, that's the obvious thing to say. But also, you have to play against them as if this is the biggest game of your life, both as an Everton fan and as an Everton player, and for Frank Lampard as a Premier League manager. But anyway, that's it. That's it for today's podcast, the weekly. Obviously, there'll be more. We'll be doing the post-match podcast as well after the game, where we're hopefully able to celebrate and finally put to bed an atrocious season. Matt Jones will be taking care of that, and I'll have the team talking all about how this game goes. Let's just hope and pray, whichever way you look at it religiously, or whichever way you look at how this, the way life goes, let's just hope Everton do what we know that they can do, rather than sending us somewhere where, you know, God knows what would happen if we do. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to me and Pete. We'll be back, as I say, after the match and also across the weekend as well. And let's hope it doesn't go to Sunday and we can all have a bit of a laugh at what's going to happen down in London. We'll speak to you soon.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota is the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. The Toyota hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power and savings with style. Not to mention top tech to help keep you connected. Plush premium interiors and the most advanced Toyota safety features. So, now you know who you're talking to. Toyota, the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. with a hybrid or electric vehicle built for every driver. Seriously, dear gas prices, do you really think you could stand in our way? Think again. Toyota hybrids. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Based on manufacturer estimates, CY 2000 through 2021 sales.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.